self-esteem. Whole industries have grown up around this topic and this concern in our lives, and we want our children to have a good self-esteem, and we want to improve our self-esteem, and we want to avoid feelings of inferiority. I guess one of the earliest books was that book that came out years ago called I'm Okay, You're Okay. All kinds of parenting books, and it's just a major source of concern. Now, there's a danger in this pursuit of trying to arrive at the point where we have a really strong or a really healthy self-esteem. In doing that, we end up really telling lies to our children and to one another. We hear parents say to their children, you can be anything that you want to be. If you want to be the president, you can be the president. Well, I don't care how talented your little sweet child is, but there are some things that they probably can never be or do. You know, not just anyone can play baseball for the St. Louis Cardinals. I don't care how good they are at t-ball. The likelihood of them making it to a professional team is remote. Not just anyone can play an instrument in the Boston Pops. A very small percentage of all professional musicians ever make it to that level. Not just anyone has the intelligence to build a Fortune 500 company. And so when we try to promote self-esteem by telling one another and our children, you can be anything you want to be, that's really not quite true. There are many things I will never be able to do, and things that my children will never be able to do, or my grandchildren, as great as they are, that they just won't be able to do anything they want to do. It really isn't just a matter of having a positive attitude and a little bit of hard work and you can do all these things. This reality eventually dawns on most children as they age and as they have a few hard licks in life. They are faced with the truth that they can't really do anything that they want to do. Now, there are a lot of things they can do, but there are some things that they just never will be able to do because there's always going to be someone who's going to be better than them and who will get those coveted rare spots at the very upper echelons of the pinnacle in that area of endeavor. And that's why it's critically important that we are getting our self-esteem from the correct source. If my self-esteem comes from my being one of the top athletes in the world, then I'll have an inferiority complex like you never saw for all of my life. And so we've got to go to the correct source in order to do this. American culture places self-esteem in the area of externals. And self-esteem is typically found in youth or in physical beauty or in intelligence or in athletics. But what happens when you have those things early on and then they fade and they're gone and they no longer possess? What happens when someone who was the star football player ends up paralyzed? What happens when the supermodel gets old and wrinkled and no longer has her looks? Listen again to these words in Jeremiah. And by the way, we're starting a series, just like on Sunday mornings, we're beginning this new series on good deeds. We're beginning a series on Sunday nights, and for the next few weeks, Jeremiah is a huge book, and we're not going to be able to go through it on a verse-by-verse basis, but we are going to go through and look at some of the great passages out of the book of Jeremiah, and we're beginning with this one. Let's read it again, Jeremiah chapter 1, verses 4 through 10. The word of the Lord came to me, saying, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart. I appointed you as a prophet to the nations. Ah, sovereign Lord, I said, I do not know how to speak. I am only a child, But the Lord said to me, do not say I am only a child. You must go to everyone I send you to and say whatever I command you. Do not be afraid of them, for I am with you and will rescue you, declares the Lord. Then the Lord reached out his hand and touched my mouth and said to me, now I have put my words in your mouth. See, today I appoint you over nations and kingdoms to uproot and tear down, to destroy and overthrow, to build and to plant. The first thing we need to understand about self-esteem is simply this. An accurate view of self-esteem comes from the way God sees us and God's view of who we are. Jeremiah's worth and value, according to God's word to him, was that he was valuable as he was being formed in the womb of his mother. Before he could ever say his first word, before he could ever render his first act of service to God, before any prophecy ever came to him, before any sermon ever was preached by him, our worth is found in the fact that God says, you are of great worth, and I am of great worth. That's what causes us to have worth. When we focus on our performance and on our abilities, we end up talking like Jeremiah and saying, I'm just a child. You know, I don't have any great value. God chastised him for thinking like that and for talking like that. And God simply says, don't talk that way. That's not the basis of your self-esteem. If your self-esteem is based on how you view your abilities or how others feel about what you do, then you're going to be sucked into that black hole of inferiority throughout your life. You'll find yourself climbing the ladder of success only to find that it's been leaning against the wrong wall. I'm grateful that we live in a community, for we have a number of organizations that exist to care for the needy in our community and for people who can't do anything for themselves. I'm grateful for organizations like Ark of the Ozarks and for Mike Power's work and others in this congregation that are part of that. There are those in that place who can't do anything for themselves. They can't even get out of bed by themselves. They can't go to school. Many of them can't play sports, never will be able to do that. In terms of contributions to society, there are a lot of people who are so terribly handicapped that they will never be able to make any contribution in what we term contributions. They'll never probably have a relationship with anyone except their caregiver and their families. Some are not physically attractive as our world judges physical attraction. Some of them cannot even control their bodily functions, and they have to be cared for multiple times a day. Question is, what value do they possess? You want to talk about self-esteem? What value does someone like that possess in our society? According to Scripture, they are of inestimable worth to God. They are just as valuable in the sight of God as the doctors and the caregivers and those who are taking care of them. You ask their caregivers, and they'll tell you how these disabled individuals are blessings to the lives around them. In Ezekiel chapter 18 and verse 4, God said, for every living soul belongs to me. Every living soul. He knows the names, and he has placed worth on them by virtue of his creation. Human life, that is all of human life, from the womb until old age, is so valuable to God, and it finds meaning in a relationship with the God who created those souls. We are created in the image of God. But the second thing we need to understand about this whole topic of self-esteem is the truth that without God, we are absolutely nothing. If it were not for God, we would have zero self-worth. In one sense, Jeremiah was really right when he said, I'm only a child. The truth is that we would never have even heard of Jeremiah had it not been for God empowering him. God was the one who touched his mouth and put those words in his mouth. That's why Jeremiah now occupies this space we have in our Old Testament and where we can derive worth from him. He only had a message because God gave him the words to repeat that message. You know, there's both bad news and good news when it comes to each of our own self-worth. The bad news is that without God, we are a big fat zero. The good news is that with God, we can accomplish amazing things. In Genesis chapter 2, we're told that God formed the man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And the man became a living being. Now, there's bad news and good news there. Bad news, I'm just made out of dirt. Good news, God breathed life into that flesh. Bad news, Jesus tells us, without me you can do nothing. The good news is I can do all things through him who strengthens me. Now, there's a third aspect of this too, and that is that humility is the key to a healthy self-appraisal. Jeremiah, as you read through this book, and we're going to see that in the lessons over the next few Sunday nights, Jeremiah maintains an attitude of humility throughout his ministry, throughout his entire life. He is one humble man before God. Good self-esteem always, always, always comes from humility, not pride. You show me a prideful person, and I'll show you a person who will have a lifelong struggle with self-esteem. You show me a humble person, and I'll show you someone who is content with who they are. In Isaiah chapter 66, in verse 2, Isaiah said, "This is speaking for God. This is the one I esteem. He who is humble and contrite in spirit and trembles at my word." God's esteem of those who are humble is the ultimate source of self-esteem. Knowing that God esteems me and my humility makes me able to truly feel good about who I am. The danger in cultivating self-esteem by the bootstrap method, just trying to make myself of more importance than maybe I should be, is that it's not very accurate. If I began to look at myself and promote myself, I may be misinformed even about myself. Have you ever known someone who thought that they could sing when they really couldn't? Have you ever known someone who thought that they were really, really intelligent and they were really wrong? You know, there are some who have an overrated sense of self-esteem. We call that delusional at times. In Proverbs chapter 11 and verse 2, the wise man wrote, "When pride comes, then comes disgrace. But with humility comes wisdom." It's that humility that allows us to really be where we need to be in this area of self-esteem. Paul had it right when he wrote, "By the grace of God, I am what I am." Did you know that inferiority is really just another form of pride? Inferiority is a focus. It's an obsession with self. You know, I'm not as good as them. I don't measure up. It's looking at myself constantly. And that's really a prideful activity to get into. As we grow in Christ, we remove the focus from ourselves and we place it on others and we place it on God. We can rejoice with those who are better than we are in some areas. And we don't get our feelings hurt and our inferiority feelings that begin to arise. You know, I think that we all recognize in whatever profession we have or career we have, there will always be people that are better than us. I know that there are people who can preach a whole lot better sermons than I can preach or teach a whole lot better classes than I can teach, but that's okay because I'm doing what I know God has called me to do, and I do the best job I can at what I do, and I discharge those responsibilities faithfully, and that's okay. That's all God expects from me. In Colossians chapter 4, Paul wrote to, or Colossians chapter 3, Paul wrote down in verse 23, "Whatever you do in work, work at it with all your heart, as working for the Lord, not for men, since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward." And don't worry if you're not as good as the next fellow is. Just do your best. That's all God asks you to do. What if only the best singer, only the best singer, if we said, okay, we're going to have a contest, we'll find out who the best singer is here at Sunset, and what if the best singer was the only one who was ever allowed to sing? What if we said, okay, we only want the best teacher, and only the best teacher can ever teach? What if we said, we only want the wealthiest member of this congregation to do the giving? You know, we don't do that in any area of life. Our confidence comes from the fact that we have been created by and we are loved by God. And He's called us to serve Him with whatever abilities He has gifted us. One day, if you live long enough, and I've just almost lived long enough, things will change. And you won't be able to do everything that you once were able to do. And you won't be able to do it as quickly as you once were able to do. And your brain won't act as quickly. And you'll find yourself searching for words that once just came freely to mind. You won't be able to remember people's names like you used to be able to remember. Your reflexes won't be as good. And you may not be as handsome or as beautiful as you were when you were 20 years old. Well, let me tell you. If these are the things around which you have built your self-esteem, you will be shattered. But if your self-worth is based on your relationship with God, that can never, ever be taken away. The story is told about an American couple who were vacationing in Paris. And they picked up an amber necklace. The man bought it for his wife in an antique shop in Paris. And they brought it back to the States, and they took it into the jeweler, and they wanted him to make some adjustments on the clasp to lengthen the necklace. And he phoned them just hours later, and he said, "You both need to sit down." And they said, "What do you mean?" He said, "On the clasp, on this amber necklace, I found an inscription, and it's dedicated from Napoleon to Josephine." It was the name on that necklace that suddenly gave it an extraordinary value. And inscribed on your life is your Maker's name. The one who created you, the one who designed you, the one who gifted you, the one who enabled you to do whatever it is that you're able to do. And He made you and He loved you. And no one else can take your place in His heart. That's the source of true self-esteem. That God loves you, and tonight He longs for you to be with Him. And if there's anyone here tonight who has never submitted their life to Jesus Christ, we're going to sing a song in hopes that tonight will be the night that you will do that. We'll assist you as you're baptized. Or if tonight you need prayers, we always stand ready to pray. If you need to come, we invite you to come as we stand and sing.